We're going to talk about that painting back there. The background is laid, sort of. There are missing spots, but that's because we have things to fill in. It's just a basic background right now. We're going to create a lot more atmosphere on it. But this is what the Lord showed me, because I was really terrified. I mean, the visions I've had of this, and it was like, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's just so overwhelmingly too big, you know, and I can't do it. And I know in the vision he took my hands, you know, and he was doing it with me. And that was really cool. But still, all my thoughts, you know, like my flesh, I get impulsive, I run ahead. Already ran ahead a couple times, wrong canvas, didn't work, had to get rid of that. Built a frame, didn't work, we had to get rid of that. I mean, I've already run ahead in the flesh, and you know, your thoughts, those thoughts that come, we could do this, I could do that. And forgetting to slow down and just wait until you have the peace of God. And I'm like, God, my flesh is going to touch it. My flesh is going to mess it up. Well, my precious little daughter, Jamie, she bought me a calendar last year, and she wrote verses and prayed and asked God what to write. So looking back over these verses she wrote for me in the last week was amazing. One of them, I'm going to find it here, because I wrote it all out someplace right here, and I wanted to share it because it was really cool. Where did I do that? Can't find it. One of those verses that she shared with me was Isaiah 41:13 that said, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying, Fear not, I will help thee." And that's what he did in that vision. And then the other one was all about have no fear of the flesh. And it goes on and talks about how the thoughts, they come after your every thought, the flesh. And I've always taken that verse to think about other people's flesh. You know, don't be afraid of them. This was saying don't be afraid of your own flesh, that God is bigger and that he'll overcome those thoughts. And whenever I call out to him, the enemies run. You know, so when your thoughts are overcome, call out to him, and those enemies will run, and he'll bring the peace. So that's really helped me in this last several days of getting this thing started. And it's like every day when I walk and get in his presence in the morning, he gives me another little peace. And I'm bringing it to you because, first of all, I want to give you the overview of it again, what it's about. But let's let your flesh tremble a little. He let me know you're all going to help me paint it. You're going to get your little fingers back in there. So, and the reason for that, especially in certain parts of it, is the fullness of God being able to flow into this. And he's in you. Different parts of God are in you than how he's in me. So in order to release more of God into this painting, we let him flow through you and let the anointing he has in you touch it too. Now don't get scared. You don't have to be an artist and you don't have to do anything real hard. All you have to do is go back there and get into the paint and pray. And what we're going to do this morning is open up two of the world globes. So let me again show you the picture real quick. On the right-hand end of it, we'll have the crucified hand of Christ, three times bigger than a normal hand, with a spike in it, with the blood coming down. Way at the other end of the picture will be his other hand, crucified hand. In the very middle, we'll see the crown of thorns, his crown of glory. What this picture depicts is the entire work of God on earth, Alpha and Omega, beginning to end, what God is doing on earth. We have three-dimensional globes that will represent the world in transition. The first globe will be about the creation of the world. This morning, I'm going to invite you to come back and to paint on that globe and the second globe, which is darkness covering the face of the earth through sin. I'm going to invite you for those two globes this morning. I'm going to do it in reverse because I want you to come to the globe of darkness first and just put some of the brown, black paint on that globe as you confess, God, my sin. Is part of what brought this blackness that covers the earth, this darkness, this evil, my sin, and I'm confessing it, and I'm asking you to just wash away all my sin. You've already done it if you're saved, but we still have sin toward each other. And we need to confess that too. God, anybody that I'm bitter toward, anybody, anything that I'm carrying around in my life now, I just want you to wash that away. My sin helped bring this blackness, this darkness on the earth. And just put a little, if you want, you can put your fingers in that paint and just make a design on that globe. If you're afraid of getting too dirty, I did lay out some brushes. You can take a brush and dip it, make some designs with a brush, and then drop it in a glass of water. We have warm water to wash your hands and paper towel to dry up. I'm warning you, don't get it on your clothing, but it is very washable off your hands. Believe me, I've been covered in it. I'm clean this morning, almost. Then after that one, we're going to go over to the other globe of creation. We've covered it in blue, so it's only covered like in water right now. But I want you, there's going to be all the colors of creation laying out there. And I want you to be free to just dip in those colors and make pretty designs of any colors that you love. The colors that you love inside of you are part of God. So put your colors on there. It is going to change and change and change. Other people will move over what you did, and what you did will change. And we may paint more stuff on top of it. I have painted paintings where I did a whole painting, and then God said, now start over, and we painted on top of it. And well, why did I do that? He said, the anointing of what you did is still there. It's still there, but no one can see it. A lot of what God does, no one can see. A lot of what was in the original creation, we no longer see. But I want God to flow through you and just add the colors of God in you to that creation globe. And Nate and I will play around with it later and see what else God wants to do. Nate's my main helper on that whole thing. If you're going to mix colors yourself, maybe, you know, tip two fingers, dip two fingers. You can dip and mix them as you paint, but try not to mix them in the container so somebody else wants the purity of a color they still. Yeah, but it'll be fine. I want you to come when you feel you're ready to come. So we may have some time after Sunday school, or you may wait until during worship over there. I'm going to stay back in that corner to help you whenever you're ready to come. But come ready for the sin one and then the creation. So again, the first globe is God creating the world. Second globe is darkness, covers the face. These are 16-inch globes. Then in the very, very middle, in a canvas that's a little higher, we'll have the crown of thorns. We'll have the bigger globe. From the time Christ was crucified for us, it began. He began living inside of us, staying and living inside of us. And through that, his glory will cover the earth. Through him living in us and his glory moving through us from glory to glory as we let him release more through our life. So on this bigger globe, which we're not painting it today, later we will be coming and having you all come and paint into that one. And then we'll see the glory of God covering the earth. The next globe will be fire when it comes to the point that God destroys this earth by fire. And then the last globe will just be, I think it'll just be white or glory somehow. I'm not sure. We'll get more detail as we go. This is the new heaven and earth, as God creates a new heaven and earth. And that is the entire work of God, which he saw before the beginning of time. This entire work that he would do was in his arms on that cross. He saw it all on that day. It's all part of the plan. So that's what our painting is going to be. And it's going to be signed Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And it's painted by God through God's people. So you are the artists here. And you're going to be a part of this painting. Hallelujah. On the big wall, we only have some darkness right now with colors and darkness like outer space. Whenever Nate feels so moved, he's going to go back and paint a bunch of atmosphere on that. So Nate and I are kind of carrying the foundations of this, and then you're helping create the face of it. So I hope you're excited about that. I'm excited about that. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I want you, as you think about that this morning, verse 27 of Genesis 1 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I want you to think for a minute, no matter where you're at in your life right now, down inside of you is the created you. The you that God created in heaven when you were a twinkle in his eye, how he saw the real you and the you you're going to be when you get rid of the sinful body. When all sin is gone, all deception is gone, and you're in the fullness of truth, who you really are. Now, God is working right now to restore you to who he created you to be. In the beginning of you, who he created you to be. He wants to get rid of everything that's happened in your life, the bad things that have caused you to sin, that have caused you to be angry, that have made you bitter, that have made you think bad of yourself, or that have made you think too good of yourself, thinking higher of yourself than what you really are. All those things God wants to wash away, heal you from, bring you through repentance, till he restores you to who he created you to be. At that point, when he restores you to who he created you to be, then he can begin to transform you into who you're becoming, into who you're going to become. I love thinking of a newborn baby. They're closer to their original creation. They're still little liars, you know. They still scream for no reason because they just want to be picked up or babied or whatever, you know. I don't like peas. Give me applesauce. Whatever they're lying about or being ornery about. As soon as they're old enough to steal a toy from their brother, they're doing it, you know. So they're sinners. I mean, there's sin in their blood. But they're closer to their created being. They're closer to it. And you know, when you look at that newborn baby and you look at that little 10-month-old toddling around, crawling, whatever, and you look at them and you see that amount of innocence, and then as they get older, things begin to change. Have you ever even watched actors? I mean, I think of Henry Fonda. I loved Henry Fonda as a young man. His whole countenance, though, as an older man, became so hard, so harsh. You know, what happened? Where did he go? Where did that young Henry Fonda go? You know, you can see them in actors because we even see it in their movies, how much they change. Others can see it in you. Your mom and dad, they can see it in you. From that sweet little baby that they're rocking to that 16-year-old that's all mouthy, headstrong, defiant, knows everything. God wants to bring us back. But once he gets us back closer to who he created us to be and we start hungering for that, he can begin to transform us into who we're becoming. From our restored position, we can grow into everything he planned for us to become, everything he wants to do through our life, how we partner with God, become one with Jesus, like John 17, where he said, God, the glory you gave me, I give to them. The glory you gave me, I want to give to them. But he cannot give you that full glory until we come face to face with Jesus, and glory by glory, little by little by little, we see more of him. And we begin to be, first of all, restored. Then we can be transformed from that point. So in stage two, we have that sin. We have the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It starts right when we come and give him our life. That's where our restoration begins. And in John 1, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we want to go touch that darkness globe first. We want to be completely sinless when we touch the creation globe. And we can be sinless for those few moments. I mean, unless, you know, you touch that blackness one, we confess all of our sin and God cleanses us from everything. Now, unless you turn around, you know, and like slap Brother Hart on your way over the other globe, we ought to be able to stay fairly sinless to take two steps over and touch the creation globe and let God flow now from our forgiven condition. Now, somebody might dip their hand in the paint you wanted, and you're suddenly going, who do you think you are? Well, better go back over to that confession globe pretty quick. That devil trips us up just like that, doesn't he? That's what I love. If we confess just like that, forgiven, just like that, clean, Now, our sins toward God, when we accept Christ and He's living in us, all those sins are forgiven forever. But these sins we do against each other, boy, they just keep building up. But if we confess them quickly, He forgives them instantly and cleanses us, and we're clean again. It's so awesome how quick, how easy He made it for us. I love the stage three where we start getting transformed. We start letting that glory shine out through our life. I love that part. Hey, I just found those verses from Jamie. Here's the other one. Psalm 56, I knew I would. I wrote them somewhere. I had to run into them. This is the second section. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. And this morning is the first time I saw that. I'm not going to fear what my own flesh can do to me. Every day, verse 5, every day they rest my words. You know, every day your flesh and the devil comes up in your thoughts and wrestle with your words. They argue with your thinking. They argue with what God says to do. Is it really God? I don't think it's God. They argue with your ability to do what God said to do. I can't do it. They argue with your trust in God. What's going to happen? Every day these enemies come in your thought life to argue with you, wrestle with your words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. Does not the devil hide himself, and you think that it's just you, or you think it's truth, or I mean, it's a hidden attack. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. It's like the enemy. He's just waiting to see what you decide you're going to do for God today. What are you going to do with God today? I'm just waiting. And as soon as he hears you say, today I am going to read the word, he goes, ah, now I know your plan. I have marked the step of your plan, and now I know how to attack you. And all he has to do is jump in your head with your thoughts and start saying, before you read, just do this. Get this out of the way. And he's got you off track. He wrestles with your thoughts. I want to serve God. And he wrestles, who do you think you are to think God wants you? He wrestles with your every thought. These are awesome verses. In verse 9, but when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. You guys, if you know God is for you, then you ought to know, as soon as you cry to him, the enemies turn back. In this earth being filled with the glory of God, Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters circle the sea. As the waters cover the whole earth, so will the glory of God. John 17:22, when Jesus talks and says, the glory the Father has given me, I give to you. He was going on to heaven and he said, but you're staying here. And everything I did, I want you to do. That's eating his flesh. He said, do what I've done, and the glory he gave me to do it, I'm giving that to you. We get the same glory he had. Do we let it shine to the same extent by releasing God the way he released God? Then we're going to go to the fire stage. 2 Thessalonians verse 8. Inflaming vengeance on them that know not God. I don't know. No idea. That's all I wrote. 2 Thessalonians 8. 1:8. Inflaming vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of his power. You could look up multitudes of verses about how God is pleading with mankind, but mankind rejects him, refuses him, does not want Jesus, does not give their life to God. They refuse God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are chosen, or you wouldn't be here. You were called to obtain this glory of Christ. Isn't that awesome? And how we do it, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to glory, as you behold Jesus a little bit, just a little bit at a time. The glory of God is the fullness of who he is. The fullness of the character of God. It is the love, the patience, the mercy, the power, the creativity. Everything that God is, that's his glory. And as we behold him, coming into his very presence, in the face of Jesus, as we do that, as in a glass, like in a mirror, because you're created in his image, you begin to behold who he is and find out who you are and release who he is. Glory to glory, a little at a time, a little at a time. That's why you want to live hungering for more of his presence, because you're finding more of him, finding more of you, becoming more like him, releasing more of him in your life, moving more into your purpose for being here. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I know I've said these same verses a lot, but we need to grab onto them because we are in the glory stage of God's work on earth. We're not in the creation stage. We're not in the the darkness covering the face of the earth is increasing. But we are moving into the glory stage. God wants to live through you. But you need to live in the presence of Jesus for his light to shine through you. That is going to increase. I just ordered this book I've been reading. I already forgot something about the Days of His Presence, I think, by Francis Frangipane. I ordered some of them. And I'm going to give them to some of you. But I'm going to look for who's hungry, because I don't want it to lay on a shelf. I'm going to look for the ones that are really going to devour it and be hungry, because it's all about the coming presence and his glory in you. So I got that hand back there. I know one is so hungry, she's about ready to tackle me and say, put my name in that book. Stage 4 is the fire. You know, I am not going to elaborate the fire. I'm going to tell you where to find it if you want to read, because we are going to get a revelation group together, and it talks about this fire that destroys the earth one day. But if you start in Revelation, I just write these down. They're all Revelation. These chapters, you'll find fire. Revelation 8, 9, and 10, 14, 16, 18, 20. That's not even cross-referencing anywhere else. But God is going to destroy this earth. Judgment of God will fall on this earth in the form of fire. I'm going to open it to everyone. It'll be open. I'm going to warn you, it is controversial, because there are a lot of different belief systems about how things are going to happen, and we're going to be open to everything. We're going to let everybody bring what they have studied, what they believe, and you're going to get to form what you believe. But I hope you don't form what you believe only by what you hear. I hope you are, like the scripture said, more noble than these in Thessalonica. I can't say it. Thessalonica. In that they went home and studied the word themselves to find out if what they heard was true. You need to take what you hear before God and study the word and get it from God. So in the end, we're not going to be a split church. I think the rapture's first or in the middle or at the end, or it's going to be this way. We're just going to be a prepared people, ready for whatever happens to walk with God. And we still may all have different belief systems on exactly the events happening, because it's It's a mystery. It's a mysterious book. Then stage five, we have the new world. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that is the end of God's work on earth. And the new world is created. So I just wanted to hopefully plant this painting in your heart, because God has a message through it. And I want you to pray, and I want you to prepare, and I want you to be a part of it. God wants you to be a part of it. So if you would pray whenever you're ready, you can do both pieces at the same time, because it's that simple. Confess any sins, move right in to touch that creation. You're clean that quick and you're ready. But if you need to come back and confess along and go back and pray a while and then come back into the creation, that's fine too. Any way you want to do it, I do warn you that the paint could not come off your clothing. It will come off your hands. It will come out of your hair. I have one of my paint shirts back there. I could let you slip on if you don't feel safe enough. I do have a couple of plastic aprons for children, because I'm hoping by your permission to bring the children. I don't think any of you have children. So that's basically Janiyah, wherever she is. Okay, I have plastic aprons that they can put on when they come back. And I think we'll probably talk to the children in their class and do them separately. Some of the older ones, when they're ready, can go. But the little ones, I think we'll bring them later.